What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to your Self-Helpless snack, where we give you a little taste of Self-Helpless via a mini episode. I'm Delaney Fisher, and today I'm sharing a bite from Dr. Sahar Martinez, who owns a group therapy practice. And we have so many therapists on the podcast who share their expertise and offer up what helps their clients heal. So today, Dr. Sahar is actually giving us some insight into things that help her as someone who is in this kind of role. She's sharing a peek behind the scenes of how she has set up her practice, the approach of abundance that she has when it comes to connecting with other practitioners and clients, some of the pressures that her and other clinicians have, but often aren't talked about openly. And even if you don't work in this field or anything related to it, the themes of abundance, grounding yourself in your values, cultivating community, and caring for yourself first before you take care of others are things we can all implement into our lives. So here's my chat with Dr. Sahar. What does your practice look like? How many people? Who are you serving? All that good stuff.
There are 9 of us total now.
Awesome.
10, including like our social media manager.
Okay.
And so it's a good dynamic that we have where, you know, we're all female and female identified. We serve literally everybody from kids to adults to couples and duos and partners and families. Yeah, we all come from the same place of being like client-centered, but we all do it in different ways. And so I think that's like the really beautiful part of our work is that, you know, I do work from like an attachment, somatic, internal family systems lens. And there are other clinicians here who also do similar work and we do it differently. And so when I have like an email come my way saying I'm looking for someone who does attachment-based work, you know, maybe some inner child work, I have like 3 clinicians that I can refer them to other than myself. And so that feels really nice in the sense of like, we are able to serve like a large amount of people in a way that feels really authentic to who we are. And we're also in community with so many other therapists outside of our practice, where like, if we can't meet somebody's needs, like we're always referring to other people. And I think that's like the abundance part of it is that like, I really believe that like we only win when we all win.
Yes.
And so, you know, and so it's like, we have it's a co-working space downstairs from us that is for therapists only. And we refer down there. We have a bunch of friends and colleagues who work down there and we refer to them all the time. And that just feels great. And they come up and like hang out in our office and, you know, whatever, but there's probably like 100 therapists down there that we refer to. And so I just feel like we're in a place where like everyone is really committed to their own practice, but also to like the group in general. And that feels really, really great.
What you just said is so important because so many people would view the people downstairs as competition. Let's keep everything in house. We'll be friendly and we'll, you know, maybe we'll give a trickle here or there, but just the way that you're operating is so important for people to hear that there's room for everybody to do their thing. So what is the kind of snapshot of all the people that work with you? Can you share a little bit about that?
I'm really selective on who I work with. And I keep my practice intentionally very small. And that was partially like, I was teaching for a long time. I'm like on sabbatical from that right now. And so it was to accommodate like my teaching schedule. And now it's really to just accommodate like myself.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I also look for people who do the things that I don't do. Like, I don't work with kids or minors. When I like interview somebody, I want to know if they're able to fulfill a need that I personally can't fulfill.
Beautiful. Yeah. Fill in the gaps.
Mm-hmm. Fill the gaps. Yeah. So I have three clinicians on my team who do EMDR. There are three of us who do brain spotting, myself included. I work with couples and duos and partners. I have two other clinicians who also work with couples and duos and partners. And yeah, you know, we're like an open referral base to one another. So oftentimes, like, I will see one member of a family, I'll refer someone else, another member of the family, to somebody else, and they'll decide the kids need support. And so we'll bring the kids in to see somebody, and then we collaborate on the work together, which feels really, like, really powerful for our clients, in order to say, like, hey, look, like, let's get together for a family session, and each of your individual therapists can be there to support you during that time. Right. And that feels really nice. So, like, yes, there absolutely, like, we're not all doing the exact same thing. We don't all work from the same modality, and there is overlap. And I think the overlap is necessary.
And why do you think the overlap is necessary? Why is that a benefit?
Because I think that just because someone like checks off all your boxes doesn't mean that they're a right fit for you. You know, we're person-centered in the work that we do. And so you might be my ideal client and our personalities might not mesh, and that's okay. And so if I'm sitting with you and I'm noticing like visibly that you're uncomfortable sitting with me, and or that I'm not comfortable sitting with you, that is like a red flag for me. There is something here that either I need to work through as the clinician, and in order to make sure that you're getting the best level of care that you can get, I should probably refer you out. If I can refer you to someone on my team, great. And that also gives me some insight on some work that I need to do as a clinician to say, like, why was this so activating for me?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. Just, yeah, it's more than just checking off the boxes. It's something a lot deeper than that. Where do you envision this going next?
I would love to, my like ultimate vision, which I've actually never spoken about publicly before, but here we go.
Ooh.
I want to have like a wellness space that takes on like the mental health side of things, but also like the somatic side of things. And so there are like parts of my own like practice that I do regularly that I think are, that support my mental health. And I would love to have a space that integrates both of those. And so like, I use like cold plunges and sauna and like infrared light as part of like my wellness. And I would love to have a space where like I could sit with my client for 50 minutes and then be like, okay, now go take the next 20 minutes and like, let's do a 2-minute cold plunge. And I'll like, I can guide you through the breathwork piece of it. And let's get in the sauna and then let's go sit in the infrared light and like really calm your nervous system.
Oh my God. Where do I sign up? Please. Can you put me on some kind of insider list where I'm the first person to know? What do you wish clinicians spoke more about with each other?
Everyone's afraid of failing, you know, on so many different levels. I think people are afraid of failing their clients. They're afraid of failing in the business. They're afraid of failing as a clinician. They're afraid of getting too invested in this work and failing in their personal life. And I think at times we all like touch base into those spaces. And I don't think we talk about it enough.
That's got to be a lot of pressure. Is there anything that has helped you relieve that for yourself?
Therapy.
Okay.
Full transparency. Like, shout out to my therapist, Kim. Like, I think that she is an absolute queen. However, I also know, like, for myself, when I meet with new clients, especially, I will always say, like, hey, look, I really recommend that you talk to at least two other therapists before, like, we move forward in our work. And I'll give them referrals often, because I equate like meeting with a therapist for the first time to like a blind date.
Yes.
You don't marry the first person you date.
I love the fact that you are doing that, that mindset of abundance, that there's enough for everybody, is just huge. And people feel that, and then they want to come to you and they're drawn to you.
And there are times when you will work with a therapist for a long time and you'll be like, our work has come to an end, but my work in therapy hasn't. And that's also okay.
Yes.
You know, like, your therapist welcomes you having that conversation with them to say, like, I feel like we've done all that we can do. How do we, what are my next steps? Can you help me navigate that?
Mm-hmm.
And a good therapist will be like, I hear you. Yeah. Like, tell me about what you want your next steps to look like. And let me see if I can connect you with a colleague that can support you through that. You know, and I'm so grateful for the time that we've had together.
Right. You mentioned that you like the saunas and the plunges. Is there anything that you do to take care of yourself first before caring for other people? Maybe it's even in between sessions sometimes. What do you do for yourself?
Yeah, two big things are like meditation and bilateral movement, which is like a really fancy way of saying walking.
Okay.
But yeah, like, meditation is a struggle with it a lot, because that level of like sitting with myself is really challenging for me, because my brain is always like on the go. But even just between clients, like going out for a walk, also in the way that I schedule clients, like I have a number, like I don't usually schedule more than 4 clients in a row. And even if I have more than 4 clients in a day, like I will have an hour break in between and then see the rest. And kind of the beauty about my practice is that I can go to the office right next door to mine and like sit with my friends. That's like really soul filling, you know? And so sometimes it's that, sometimes it's going for a walk outside. Sometimes it is meditating. I always have a book with me, so I read sometimes. And sometimes I just flip my phone open and watch Love Island on Netflix. And like, that feels really restorative. So
yeah,
you know, I think anything to like disconnect from me as a therapist and connect into like me as a human.
Maybe I'm self.
Thank you for tuning in to the Self Helpless Podcast. You can find our Patreon community, merch, and other goodies at selfhelplesspodcast.com. We'd be thrilled if you left an iTunes review, shared this episode with a friend, or post about it on Instagram and tag @selfhelplesspodcast so we can repost you and say hi. Thanks, everyone.